we overestimate what we can achieve in 1 year and so underestimate what we can achieve in 10 years. Just making sure you have enough done and most done in a week, then weeks built into months, months built into year. And without you knowing, you will be successful at any given area of your business. You'll be working at the sales, rental, or however you will be doing it.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry Sales Professionals, Property Managers and Leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking and strategies to elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. And for more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier on your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. My guest today is the founder and CEO of Reliance Real Estate, which was established in 2011 in Melbourne's West. He's also been named Principal of the Year by the RER Network for two consecutive years. Welcome to the podcast, Sunil Kumar.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Samantha. It's a great pleasure. And I was looking forward from last couple of weeks since I came to know we will be talking on this platform today. So thank you for having me.
We've been looking forward to talking to you for a long time because I think you're one of the true quiet achievers in the real estate industry. You've got an incredible business. You've won some incredible awards. And I think, you know, we're going to get on to some of your top performers in your group, like Tanay Jain. Everyone knows him from talking to Arik. But it's really interesting to be able to get inside the mind of the leader, which is what we have the opportunity today. And we're very grateful for that. So let's start with the obvious question. You have a master's in professional accounting and an economics degree. So how did this lead to a career in real estate?
Beautiful. I think that's a very good question. I've always been very good in academically, and I came to the country in 2004 as a student and was studying accounting and economics. But in the process, I find a job. My first job was door-to-door and selling the Orange mobile phone back then. So in that process, I was struggled badly, which I will talk in a little while. But then I find a way to obviously communicate and talk to the clients and really learn a lot in the process. And in that process, made a reasonable income as well. So by the time I was finishing my accounting studies, which is 2 years, and I was earning decent income and having a great respect, won many awards in the organization I was at the time. So there was just a natural progress for me to continue from the sales perspective. And then I enter in the real estate. But my education, being a master in professional accounting and economics, is especially now running a business to this scale now, is helped enormously on daily, weekly and monthly basis in how we make the decision. And it's more relatability as well with the white collar professionals and other people out there. You can connect and talk about the education. That's an important piece.
Well, that's it. The numbers never lie in business, do they?
True. I have a lot more to learn about the numbers, but I think the good base is there for it to follow.
Yeah, so the door-to-door sales job, that must have given you a decent grounding when you came into the real estate industry. So how was that an actual turning point in your life?
I think whatever we do today, or I partly do, is all the foundation and base is built from that job. And I wouldn't have it any other way. So, you know, as I said, coming in the country 2004, freshly, English is second language, was always a struggle. So I think I literally remember two and a half months without making a sale, without earning a dollar, but still going out there and trying every day. So, and I think slowly, you know, I ended up selling one product, which made me, I think, $60 or $80, and then slowly grew from there. But every day was enormous amount of learning from there. So all the foundation of how to keep going, how to have the right attitude, how to try the next door, next opportunity, not give up. Like I can name it, I can talk about hours, but there is a great, great foundation coming from just by door knocking and finding a reason to go there every day and driven and passionate about it and always providing that good care and good customer service as well. So I think there is a lot more to learn from there. So the strongest foundation is built from there and rest is just we're trying to build some, good or tall building on that foundation.
Yeah, you must have had to build some incredible resilience going door to door because we know agents don't particularly, or some of them don't particularly like that because anything could happen when you knock on someone's door. Do you have any tips for anyone just straight off the bat if they're struggling with going door to door, if they're struggling door knocking?
And one thing I think I should mention as well, like every business have their mantra. You know, I mean, if you talk about some of the strongest business or largest business or good businesses, I mean, they have some is strong in the rental, some is strong in sales, and in sales, some strong in the promotion, some strong in the nurturing, some strong as a farming. But our DNA and the core of the business is still prospecting, hardcore prospecting. And that's what we do in terms of when we get the new individual starting. And in terms of the tip, I think, you know, it's, I would say one thing, it's don't take it personal. Does not matter what the client or someone said to you on the door. You can imagine I have heard every kind of word or and abuse on the doors, but it was never personal. Mm. Just shake it off. Just go to, you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for yourself. You're doing it for your career. So your aim is to try to build that connection. And especially in real estate, easiest thing to do. You're not there to sell anything. Only that introduction, having a chat, and most likely, you know, trying to serve him in ears when he is ready. So if you're going with the right attention, you will not have a problem. You will not have a problem. Another thing is have a longevity. Having a look at 1 year, what it'll be. It's not about today. You're not going to get a listing. 1 year, how many contacts will you have?
Yeah, I think that's great advice, actually, just to build a relationship rather than to sort of go in trying to sell something. And I mean, look, the growth that you've achieved with Reliance is incredible. So I saw, actually, this was a while ago that I saw a photo of you with your team, and it looked like there was a lot of people in that photo. So can you give us an idea of how big the business is now?
Look, with this, our recent acquisition, I think in total we are 124 people. Yeah, so 60 plus in sales, almost 2,000 in rental management under properties. We have a finance team. We write about 400 to 420 or 440 loans every year, and sales is close to 1,000, or our aim is to get to 1,200 to 1,500 in next year in altogether. So it's a sizable business and it is growing. It is growing. The exciting part of it is growing. We having a challenge as any other business has, but it's a good challenge. It's a growing challenge, like some which I am excited to get behind them and get to the depth of it and try to handle them, because I know if we can get that challenge in the right way possible and handle it the right way, the next wave is about to come.
When you started the Reliance business, obviously you started it with a view to growth, but was such rapid growth part of your ongoing plan?
We started with the right intention. I knew, like, I can't limit myself with the name and having a farming area with taking some franchise. That much I knew, but that's why we started a new name. And in the middle of nowhere, I quit the job where I was working. So I went far, not even still one contact from the agency I was working. I went maybe 10 kilometers away and opened in a new area when no one knew me. And our office was above the Commonwealth Bank, so nobody could even walk there. I can't say I have all this planned and worked out, no way. I mean, all we did is we just worked every day, do it best, try to look after our people, try to provide an excellent service to the clients, and just build it day by day and step by step. And I get more excited now than 5 years ago because I could see what is possible. But I can't still say we will be in 3 years. We will be in an amazing, amazing place, I think, and with the number wise and how environment we creating positive, uplifting environment within our business will increase in itself as well. But at the same time, we didn't start with this intention.
Interesting. And now you've got like 8 offices all based in Melbourne's West area. I've got to be really careful about how I describe Melbourne because someone pulled me up on it the other day. You're in the west area of Melbourne, correct?
Yes, outer west, mainly outer west, western area. Yeah.
And you focused on a fairly concentrated area. So was there a strategy in that?
Yes, that's a very good question. And it is very, very strategically driven and expanded. Our aim and the sole aim is try to see every growth or every step or every bit of technology we do, how that enhancing and uplifting and encouraging our newest to newest team member. So what we did is we had one office in one of the council, Wyndham Council, and we opened a second one. So when we opened a second one, we could see that the branding increase, the confidence of the team increases, and we were cross-selling. Then we opened the third one in the same council. And then we went to the other council, which was also growing as well. And between those 4 offices, we've seen there's a lot of transaction happening. The team morale is, you know, to the next level, and we could compete with some of the biggest brand of our area just by our own only statements. And then, you know, that's we grew in that geographical area very strategically. So like we sort of bounce from each other. I mean, you can see this is the map here of the Western suburb, and this is our office's location. If you can see, this is here, and you can see four of them are in this very constrained area, because, and that's the council. And I think if we do the numbers, which we are in the process of doing, we easily number one in many areas of business. Either you talk about the number of sales, either you talk about the number of rentals, you know, and we want us to genuinely reach that 1 million number one mark in a most generous or the right way, you know, saying it doesn't matter which way you look, Reliance should be number one, you know, either the uplifting environment, number of sales, number of transactions, listing sales, like anywhere or everywhere.
Yeah, and that's really smart too, because being number one is actually a really good marketing strategy, isn't it? When you can say that you're like Google's number one, nobody knows number two, but if you're the number one in various areas, is it just from a marketing point of view, is it something you thought about to become number one in a very specific area and then go out from that?
Yes, and I'm sure I can't claim it like we are in number one in any area, but that is still in the making, still in the progress, but that is surely the aim. One of our vision is to be in top three agents in any area we serve. So we don't want us to be any less than being top three agencies or agents. It's hard work. So you just not been called in for business, you know, and the people who've been in the business 6 days, only 6 days, they know what I'm talking about, you know. So yeah, that's, you know, and that is one of our vision and our strategy, to make it easier, better for our team and for the clients, easier for them to choose us.
Yeah, I get that completely. It's very easy to sort of say, yes, I chose the number one real estate agent in the area of Reliance. Nobody's going to question that ever. What about plans to expand geographically? Like, now that you've so established and your business is thriving in Victoria, are there plans to move north, southeast or west?
You know, I was reading this, in this question. What I thought is, I think business, I believe, is only going two ways. Either it's growing or it's going downwards. You know, there is no plateau. And I think it's like a tree. When you really nurture the tree, the root, the core of it, you can't help. It will grow. And, you know, I'm lucky enough and grateful enough to be saying, I can't help if I say want to control this thing. But the amount of work we're doing on the ground with our teams, with our leaders, with our newcomers, it will automatically grow. So for me, is I just have to provide it the right direction where it's grow. And that's what the aim is. So I think we still have a year and a half to really cover more areas and more area of business in the Western suburb itself. And then we will slowly start going more towards north. But that will be very strategically done as well. You know, it's not just going to be saying, okay, this area looks good, let's do it here.
Yeah. It's not by accident.
Not by accident. Not very planned and very strategically. So it, again, the same vision to empower our current new existing team members.
Yeah, absolutely. You just touched on there your focus on your team and your employees, and you are known for being a leader who has culture right at the center of his thinking in a lot of ways. And you also just mentioned about your start in real estate, that you left another brand due to the, you know, my way or the highway kind of thing. And how did that leave you feeling, and how has that shaped your views on leadership now?
I think at some place you learn what things to be done, and at other place you learn what things not to be done, you know. So I don't want to name it, it was a good part of operation, but I learned a lot of things which you're not supposed to do, or you shouldn't do it, you know. You shouldn't do it. You're really killing your own roots, you know, in that process. So that's where I sort of learned, like, if I ever get a chance to do it, how would I do it in the process? And that's where we built sort of encouraging and uplifting environment. And that was very important for us from day one. Like, you know, we wanted to make feel either we are two people, we started with two of us or two in the team in the beginning, or either now 124, that is still the aim. The aim is to build the good culture, good positive uplifting environment throughout the process or throughout the different department or different offices.
Let's now blend those two things together. So you have experienced fast growth, and for some people it's a real challenge to have that fast growth while still maintaining that culture of learning and supportiveness and things like that. How did you manage to combine both?
I won't say it's easy. It's definitely hard. And when you're juggling a few balls, you seems to leave one or two in a side, and because you're going so fast in a speed. First of all, I'm lucky enough to have an exceptional team of people around me who support me in the process and obviously highlight the areas we have left. But it still does not matter how hard you try, you will leave some areas or some part of the business, you know, which you hasn't put much attention to. I think that's where it comes more review and preview kind of a situation. Every quarter, we sit down and we have like off the site meetings with our key players and other business leaders to see, you're right, what should be the focus, you know, and in the process, we come to know. And the other thing as well, you know, if you heart in the business, you will know, like you have some surface challenges or I'm not getting along with this or what about this? I'm in 3 years in the business. What is next for me? Or some of these other challenges. But if you really go to the core and deep of it, you will find the real reasons. You will find the real reason. Like recently, I say because of the COVID as well and just because of this fart growth, we have sort of didn't pay much attention or very specific attention to training and development. We were doing it, but not exactly what needed. You know, I think that the last quarter before this, we could feel that. And we, as a group of people or leaders, we made that decision to come back on that and really paying the right attention to that. You know, so you always miss some things here and there, but the aim is as long as your intention is right and team knows it, like you can't be doing everything. But if they knows it, you're doing your best, I think that's count a lot. That's count a lot in the process.
Yeah, so I just want to summarize that for people that might be listening, because I think that's a really interesting point that you made early on there, is that you can accelerate for growth, but you need to also reflect back on the performance of how the last quarter's gone before you can actually sort of accelerate further. So it's almost like you've got to stop, pause, reflect on what worked.
And I think most people or more business owners, they look at the numbers, you know, but I think that's the last thing to look at. You know, there's a great book called Numbers Will Take Care of Itself. I haven't read it, but, you know, this is the one I want to read it, because numbers will do take care of itself. You know, as you asked me a question of growth. So I'm not saying, all right, we'll grow here. We'll surely have plan, but the aim is to work on the people on the ground, on the core of the business and making it a happy, uplifting and the best platform for the team to perform. And the numbers will take care of itself, you know. I've been caught in those scenarios as well in previously in my journey as well, where I said, all right, this is the number. We want to look at this number now. We want to reach this. And most time we go close or to those numbers. But in the process, like to a stage, it was fine. But now in the size of our organization, we really have to work on the core of it, you know, always making sure the team is feeling empowered, energetic, and they it's a best platform for them to perform, especially for the agents as such.
Yeah. And then they never want to leave either.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That, and you will eliminate most of your surface challenges, you know.
So you've got a mentoring system called the Future Leadership Club. Can you explain a little bit about that and how that came about?
When the growing in a business, and I could see some of these performers who would just keep smashing into the you know, agent's performance, and I could see they have some great leadership qualities, but at the same time they lack few here and there, you know. So what we did is actually we intentionally have the leadership group or the key players or key performers in that process. It's mainly quarterly, a training and development session, but monthly as well when required. And just one-on-one, by one-on-one, my coaching is not about how many more listings you can get, because they know it. Like someone like Tanya knows a lot better than me how many listings he can produce next quarter, right? But it's more about other things, you know, like how to be a great energy and obviously giving them and talking to them about the long-term view on things. And then really, you know, the last month I'll share with you, the last month, the session we had, is as easy as is using the excellent word, excellent wording, or being careful about your words, with your words. Can you imagine? This is the smallest thing, but there is nothing more important than that. You know, if we 10, 20 or 15 people in your business is very careful about how they address the team, how they talk, doesn't matter how busy they are, they're still using please, thank you, and encouraging words. You know, if there's someone in the right mindset running a business, they will understand what culture that can create. And that 1.5 hour of training really just around the words, what words and how you make people come in contact with you, you know, how they feel once they leave your presence, you know. So if you're living uplifting environment. So, I mean, tiny things, but, you know, something which make the real difference end of the day.
Absolutely. I'm a big fan of words. I'm a writer. So, you know, I'm definitely in agreement there with you. Just before we sort of leave that and move on to something else, what are some of the magic words that you can use with someone when you're sitting in the living room or when you're across the road from someone that you don't know?
I think like, you know, something like excellent, amazing, beautiful, very nice. Oh, that's good to hear. I mean, really understanding them. And one of the things we talk about in listening presentation is be present. I mean, be present and really listen. And if you are, you know, memorizing those words or using any other, they will come out automatically, you know. So along those lines, you know, oh, that's excellent. You know, show me, tell me more about this, you know, how we can do this to take them on this journey and then really talk through to them, you know, on the process.
Yeah, they are some great words. So speaking of top performers, as I mentioned when we started talking, we've heard a lot about Tanay Jain over the years, and we've had him in the magazine a couple of times, and he's been on the ARIC stage, and he's got such an impressive track record. How did you come to meet Tanay?
He's amazing. Someone like Tanay is a great find. Things goes back when I was in the previous role in the door knocking, you know, and he's a lot younger than me, so he came and joined that organization, and he was doing that as well. So there is a great level of respect he had for me, I think, you know, because of maybe a little bit of a training. But, you know, you don't know sometimes which people you're influencing, like what people is learning from you. So he's someone like who is so coachable, so learnable. I did not have much of the direct dealing with him at the time. I'm talking about in 2007 and 8 here, or even earlier. But he always had that great level of respect for me and then what sort of I'd done, because I had some good track record in that previous role. And once we joined real estate, so, I mean, people are watching you, right? The people are watching you, what kind of personality you are, what you're doing, what you don't do. So along those lines, when he wants you to take a next step in his life, you know, we cross path. And the great level of respect we had in the previous relationship or indirect relationship, that's played an enormous role. So I know, I remember the day he started, there's three individuals, actually. Tanay Jain is definitely in the magazines anywhere. And then we have Sandy Rana and Mukesh Kumar. The three of them come all together, sort of joined the business almost at the same time. And within 3 months, I knew this is going to become an unstoppable kind of a rocket force, because the three were just putting, like, just an example. They're saying, what exactly we need to do? I said, look, you need to make minimum 50 phone calls a day. And you know what? Every day, they make 70, 80, 120, 130, 100 phone calls. And you know, by that kind of mindset, that kind of drive, what is possible. And within a month and a half, 2 months, they get one land listing. I remember with Tanay, I signed it on the door. We didn't need to went inside. There was a land for sale. We signed him on the door for that, and we sold it in 3 days. And then just unstoppable since, you know. And that's where it comes, like, what kind of human are you? You know, are you really faking it while you're in front of the camera or at your work? Your team is judging you, and then they're always seeing what kind of energy you're putting out there, you know. So it's a lot to do with that.
I think that's a great story, actually, because a couple of weeks ago on this podcast, we interviewed Leanne Pilkington. And she made the point that you can't be what you can't see. And I think what you've demonstrated there is an amazing example of your team looking up to you, because they've seen you be successful doing those exact same things.
Yeah, yeah, true. I think there's nothing better than, you know, if you lead by example.
Yeah. When you're looking to recruit team members, what sort of qualities do you look for in that person?
I think that's an excellent question. And, you know, everyone have the kind of qualities what they look for in their business. For us, it's very sort of the first of all, I would say, is a drive. You know, what kind of passion they have? Are they passionate about this industry, or are they, and the second most important, or that could be the first one, achiever. The one thing we look at is, have they done something in the life? You know, they could be out of school just now, but they achieved something exceptional. Like, they, you know, I have some players here, like naming Ravi Gupta. He was an excellent cricketer in here and back in India as well. And some of the other achievers, we have Stevie Bell. She was a leader in here in her previous in the school. And you know, she's been doing some amazing things on the platform with Reliance. So we always look for someone who's achiever, because the achiever, you know, I think the saying goes is, once an achiever is always an achiever. They will find their way with their discipline, with their mindset. The third one is drive. How much they're driven? Are they really wants to make a difference? Are they really wants to learn, you know? And I think along these lines, that's the key. One of the things we have is local as well. They're going to be relatively local, being given, like, there's a lot of ins and outs from that. But I think these are the four really things that we look for, you know, in the process. And then there are some others we look for in terms of their life experience, what they have done in that process. But mainly these are the four things we look when we hiring someone in the process.
What's your favorite question to ask someone in a job interview?
Favorite question is really, if I ask, you know, one thing I ask is just tell me anything and everything about you. And that's it. Just quiet. Just sit down and listen. Anything and everything. And as much the detail as you can possibly. Where you started from, where you studied, why you here, what you want to do in life, anything and everything. I mean, with just by that question, you can keep quiet. And if the guy talk 2 minutes, no more, tell me more if you're not convinced. Along the, if he talk 7 minutes, after the 7 minutes, you can hang up the interview. You will know whether you're going to hire him or not.
I think you've just hit on my general podcast strategy too in asking people questions, see if I can get them to talk for as long as possible. Let's talk about COVID now, because you've just, Melbourne has sort of been part of that whole ring of steel, and you guys have been under stage for lockdown for months now, and you've just come out. So can you talk to us about how you made your business more resilient during that period?
Like in terms, the COVID has been a great, some of the great lessons in all my career come during the COVID, because we suddenly has happened. We have not even given 3 weeks, it was only 3 days. All right, on that day, you can't leave the home, set down everything. So we have to rush everything. So I think in terms of technology wise, we did online videos, we did online inspection. Then Zoom has been, I think, the biggest upgrade in our life. And as we can see in here, and I think I'm in fall in love. I'm saving so much time just by Zoom because at the moment, like we have, because we get our team involved in the certain decisions we make. So just by half an hour notice, I can get 5, 6, 7 people on the Zoom and we discuss the challenge and we find a solution, you know, on that process. So that's another one. And apart from that, I think there has been communication, online communication, video tours. We did video tours. One of the small one, but still big one is online signing. I think my team is saving a lot of time. They don't have to drive other side of the town, getting the authority signed and presenting it online. For us, an agent, it's hard to teach the new things because we all sort of wants to do our way. But this pandemic definitely helped us to be more technical savvy in that process. And we want to continue that big way.
Yeah, absolutely. And you used your time in lockdown very well as well, because you started writing a book, didn't you?
Yeah. Now, the book is, it's a long story, the book. It is actually, it looks like we started in lockdown, but it's been doing it for the last 3 years or three and a half, I would say. But in lockdown, I had went for eighth time. I was revising, reading it through, making it word by word, better if I can. And yeah, so I did two editions in lockdown as such, because I had a time to. So early mornings, late nights, really were finding what I can improve, what I can make better, what I can give my readers to more, and they can find more value out of it.
So tell us a little bit about the book. Is it more of an autobiography or more of a textbook, or what is the book about?
I think autobiography is a long way in the making. I have still a lot to cover. This is a business book. And I think, I've been asked this question just from a other business colleague of mine. And I think the right thing to say about the book is I'm a reader. I read a lot. And I just love that. You know, that doesn't a day go past where I don't read, at least 15, 20 minutes a day. So what happened is I find a lot of books, when we're talking about how to make million, then billion, trillion, what Elon Musk is doing, what this is doing, Google, how they built. But most of that irrelevant for 80%+ of the businesses. The most business in our country, in Australia here, is 1 to 6 to 8 to 10 or 12. And they struggled really in the revenue-wise. They struggled to make it to $1 million mark, right, in terms of gross revenue. And not only that, it's talking about how you can have a fun culture, how you can have a great, uplifting, positive environment. It's not about a dollar. It's about how uplifting, how positive your environment is when you are, which environment your team is coming to. So it is to do about that. There is another saying I think I remember vaguely is the first million is the hardest to make. So this book will really teach the businesses and the business people and the professionals is how to get to $1 million in a process, or 2 million or 3 million, but get there with a good culture, with uplifting and with a fun and celebration. You can see some people can make their way by sucking the blood out of other people. Sorry, I'm reading different kind of language, but that's not fun, is it? It is not long lasting as well. So it's talking about something in longevity, about the business and how you build the foundation right. The foundation is most important. You know, you don't want to rush to the million, 2, 3, 4 million, and you didn't build the right foundation, because then it will collapse anyway.
Well, that's it. I agree with the foundation thing, because as they say, you can't build castles on quicksand.
Oh, yes. Couldn't agree more.
That's a good one. The preview for the book says that there's some fundamental questions that leaders should ask themselves. Can you give us an example of one of those questions?
We all have our moments. I think we all set up our goals. Like, you know, as a leader, I set up my goals. They're saying, I want to get this many offices, this much dollar in a revenue. And most importantly, what kind of environment I want to create, you know. But I think I wrote an article. I haven't published it. I think it should be coming out in the next couple of weeks. Is man in the mirror. And literally, man in the mirror is answer to all those questions, you know. If you look in the mirror and seeing, is, am I that kind of person? Am I really that kind of leader who can lead that organization? Or am I that kind of individual where people feel empowered, positive, energetic when they come in contact with me, you know? Or am I that kind of person who can drive that kind of a growth? We're making all those plans out there to achieve, but haven't really worked on ourselves, because it is me, or it is you, or it is whoever making that plan has to be that kind of individual who can sustain that growth, or who can really achieve that result. The first work starts from us. I think that's kind of summarized man in the mirror. And you know better than anybody else. And I know, like, we have some massive plan for a growth in our business. And I know I'm the first, and I'm unfit. As yet to this date, I'm unfit to cater to grow to that level. I have a great saying which I follow is, we are exactly where we deserve to be, not where we desire to be. I desire to be one of the top performing business in the country, but I'm not. I am exactly where I'm deserved to be. I'm exactly where the skill set, the mindset, the kind of qualities in me and in my people surrounding, like not me, my people, the kind of team, the kind of leadership team we carry. So if you really, you know, have this thing with you, is we are exactly where we deserve to be, not where we desire to.
Yeah, that's a really good expression, actually, just thinking about that one now, because we do spend a lot of time thinking about where we desire to be, but, you know, everything that we do leads to a position where we are right now. Interestingly, I mean, you just said as well that, you know, you've got to look after the team, and this has been a particularly pretty rough year where leaders, you know, I know a lot of leaders have gone out of their way to look after their own teams, much to, I mean, I think maybe their own detriment a little bit. They've kind of put everyone else first and everything else first. And there's a lot of leaders right now who are suffering a fair bit of fatigue and a bit worn out by 2020. What would your advice be to those leaders?
You're right. You know, some of my best colleagues in the country are actually in that mindset. And we do talk often, but I think it's, you know, giving that time to yourself as well, you know, while you're empowering others. And sometimes be real with your team. You know, have that kind of a connection. Just say, look, guys, I am not in the best of the best mindset, you know. So I'll take this time off, or I'll work on myself. Like, I can give an example. Like this, during this COVID lockdown, I'm not saying I was the most positive person. I have to work a lot on myself, on reading through and then finding the answers to some of the most difficult questions, and really keeping positive. So sometimes, you know, it's okay to feel, I think I was hearing the other day, bad, sad, and mad. It's okay. We're all human beings. Like yesterday, I had this particular moment, like for half an hour, I was just not in the best of the best mindset. But I realized that, you know, it's okay to have that, but I have to bounce back from that, or bounce out of that as quickly as possible. You know, I can be there for half an hour or 45 minutes, but can't afford to be there for a day.
Yeah, so you acknowledge the mad, bad, or sad, and then allow yourself to have that moment, sorry, and then move on.
True, true. And having a good sort of a network of people, and keeping, like, you know, some positive and uplifting people in your surrounding, not in a professional, in your other friend environment as well. I think that all add to how you feel, because it is draining. Running a business is draining, and it's lonely as well. It is in the process, so I do realize that, you know.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about the Reliance Foundation and how important that is to you?
Look, Reliance Foundation is something we started in 2016. And the aim is, we wanted to start that in the early stage. Because if I wanted to implement something like this now, you can imagine how much force will put behind 124 people to really agreeing to something like this. So we started this year early, and we haven't even really scratched the surface on that one. We want to do a lot more with the Reliance Foundation, how we go and going forward. But I think, you know, what we're doing locally with the local school, with the Breakfast Club, and with the Red Nose Day, with the Shave My Head, and a lot of other Relay for Life, it is, again, becoming a bonding exercise for the team. But at the same time, we are part of the community. As agents, we spend a lot of time talking, like 10 to 12 hours a day. So sometimes it is just important to take that agent hat off and go and participate in the community. Because most agents, if you see out there, including me, is staying out of the community because I want to do on a dollar productive activity. But it's okay sometime to really get involved in the community, because that's where we living, our kids are growing, and we want to have a great community out there. So I think there is a lot more we want to achieve from the Reliance Foundation, but at the moment it is supporting 3 to 4, 5 local charities and the right causes, rather than just giving money to someone and we don't know what they're doing with it. We get involved, we get behind the cause, and most likely it's local where we earning from.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get down to some final pieces of advice for people that might be listening or might be aspiring to leadership or something like that. You know, it's that time of year, I think, when everyone starts thinking about setting goals for the new year. If your goal was to become a leader or to be in your own business by 2021, what are the most important qualities you think a leader needs to have?
Look, a leader, I think, depend what kind of goals you have for life, but most important, I think, leader's quality is, you know, he have to have that experience. You know, he has to have done the things and then show others and lead them in that process. So when I talk to my leaders, especially in the office, a few of my leaders were leading the office, and it's a very successful office. I mean, most of the best quality we see is leading by example. If you have that, I think 50% of your job is done. You don't need to talk every morning, the motivational talk. You don't need none of that. As long as you're leading by example and you're doing exactly what needed to be done. And we have a great saying in Reliance is, a performer will never follow a non-performer. If the leader is someone who is haven't done it in his life, the best month he had is 2 sales. And now he's trying to lead someone who's making 4, 5, 6, 7 transactions a month. It's only a month's time before the gentleman will go or the person will go and work on their own or somewhere else. So I think the first number of quality is leading by example. You know, second one is, which is, I think, having a best intention at heart. Because as you just, we had a discussion, I can fake it for some time. You know, in month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months time, the reality will come out. Did I really have a best intention? You know, for my team, for my clients, or what kind of game I'm playing? You know, is a short-term game or quick money, or do I want to have, really climb some big mountains on the process, you know? And the third one is visionary. I think a leader has to be looking ahead, what's past this 1, 2, 3 years, or what's past this challenge, what I'm having now. If we tackle it right, what influence, what effect it can make in the growing my business or growing the organization as such. So I think these three qualities I see and I try to work on myself on daily, weekly basis to see how I lead in the process for that.
Yeah, that's really good advice. Speaking of advice, what is the best piece of advice you've ever been given in business or otherwise?
I'm big on learning. I mean, I can spend, you know, if the right teacher or right leader there, I can spend hours in terms of learning and observing. I think one of the pieces of advice is two of them. One I received is be naive in the business. We see a lot of people, a lot of business leaders as well out there doing all the numbers. So I'm doing this is some study I'm doing, this is some research I'm doing, this is R&D I'm doing, but they hardly take an action after that. And there's a lot of time going into that because then tomorrow is unknown. Day after tomorrow is even further unknown. So you cannot get all the data. You have to be taking those calculative risks. You have to be naive in that. Like we didn't know when we were opening office in Melton, like we running in Melton under Sandy Rana's leadership, number one agency in Melton. Within 12 months, we were the number one agency in the Melton region. And that was not, it was part of the plan, but we didn't know whether we'll do it or not. And we achieved it in some of the location. I mean, I must say we have opened an office and closed it as well. So it's not all about the success. We had those drawbacks as well. But it's about being naive and taking that step, you know, although there are some unknowns. And the second one is taking extreme ownership of your wins most importantly, with your losses or with your where you step up. Extreme ownership. I see some business leader when we talk in the group, they say, oh, my team doesn't respond to my emails or my messages, or they don't even send thumbs up. So I need to do a work on me. It means I have to work. There is great amount of work, and that can't be just written like you do this, this, and this. It's a lot more than that. So extreme ownership of everything what is happening in your organization, but most importantly, what is not happening right, what you can improve. You can't just say, oh, because of you, it's happened this. It is my responsibility if someone, a new team member in one of the offices is feeling like, oh, yeah, it's kind of a dull place. I'm sure who can hold him or her responsible from that office, but I have to own it. I have to really see, okay, where it went wrong. Let's peer some layers and find out exactly how we can improve it for the next time.
We have a great expression called the buck stops with the boss, you know, because I think what you're trying to say there is that you can't really blame someone's poor performance on anything other than the person leading them, because it's your job to motivate them and make sure that they've got an environment where they can thrive.
True. Couldn't agree more.
So, Sunil, it's been amazing getting to know you over the last hour or so. Christmas is coming soon. Will you be taking a break over Christmas? Is there anything that you want from the big fella?
This year there's enough break. I think in many ways it has been a blessing for us, especially for Melbourne, and how the government have supported the businesses is an amazing thing. And if we can't realize now, we are in the best place in the planet and living in the best country in the world among some of the best people, we will never realize it. I think this year is break is not an option for me, really. Break is not working in the business, maybe won the business, you know, and still spending some good quality time with the family. I have two young kids as well. So, you know, I think in this period, we have built a great bonding, with the kids and with the surrounding as well. And I'm very blessed and very grateful for that. So not much of a break this year. We will keep continuing and we're building some great platform for some new recruits. We're starting in the 11th of January, we're starting 10 to 12 new recruits, and I want to train them firsthand. So there's a lot of work for me to be done to having that excellent platform.
Yeah. And a little bit of time for the cricket?
Yeah. Tell me about it. Cricket, I will just, my son says that the other days to me, Papa, why you want me to play cricket? I said, you play cricket so I can watch you playing and I can go with you in the cricket matches, you know. So we just want an excuse to go for a cricket, you know. Cricket is just in our blood.
You and me both.
Yeah. Oh, you follow cricket too?
Yeah, ever since I was a little girl. But it's been great catching up with you. And thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us today. If there was one thing that you could leave the audience with, or one thought that you could leave the audience with, what would it be?
I think one thing what I see, I'm still out there learning and sort of developing every day. But one thing I want to leave, especially my young people out there is, as the great quotation goes, we overestimate what we can achieve in 1 year and so underestimate what we can achieve in 10 years. As you asked me the question, I wasn't sure. My team wasn't sure we will come this far, you know, and was not like, let's do it in this year. But just making it a day count, just making sure you have enough done and most done in a week. Then weeks built into months, months built into year. And without you knowing, you will be successful at any given area of your business you'll be working at, the sales, rental, or however you will be doing it. So don't underestimate the power of long-term and plan it that way. So I think that is the best advice I could give to younger self of mine, and I want to give to my young listeners out there.
Amazing. That is great advice. Sunil Kumar, thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate, with thanks to connectnow.com.au. Don't forget to download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links, and shortcuts. Visit eliteagentelevate.com.